this one. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Ravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing today with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Lord Rishabhdev's teachings. Text number 2. Mahatsevam dwaram ahur vimuktes. Tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Mahantaste samachita prashanta. Vimanyava suhrida sadavo ye. Mahatsevam dwaram ahur vimuktes. Tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Mahantaste samachita prashanta. Vimanyava suhrida sadavo ye. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimukte. Tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Mahantaste samachita prashanta. Vimanyava suhrida sadavo ye. Mahat Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam Mahantaste Samachita Prashanta Vimanyava Suhrida Sadhavoye. Mataji. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam Mahantaste Samachita Prashanta Vimanyava Suhrida Sadhavoye. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam Mahantaste Samachita Prashanta Vimanyava Suhrida Sadhavoye. Mahat Sevam. Service to the spiritually advanced persons called Mahatmas. Dwaram, the way. Ahuhu, they say. Vimuktehe, of liberation. Tamaha Dwaram, the way to the dungeon of a dark, hellish condition of life. Yoshitam, of women. Sangi, of associates. Sangam, association. Mahantaha, highly advanced in spiritual understanding. Te, they, samachitaha, persons who see everyone in a spiritual identity. Prashantaha, very peaceful, situated in Brahman or Bhagavan. Vimanyavaha, without anger. This is interesting, it's an instruction for devotees. One must distribute Krishna consciousness to persons who are hostile without becoming angry at them. You don't have to repeat the whole thing. Suhridaha, well-wishers of everyone. Sadhavaha, qualified devotees, without abominable behavior. Yea, they who. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas. Purport. The human body is like a junction. One may either take the path of liberation or the path leading to a hellish condition. How one can take these paths is described herein. On the path of liberation, one associates with Mahatmas, and on the path of bondage, one associates with those attached to sense gratification and women. There are two types of Mahatmas, the impersonalist and the devotee. Although their ultimate goal is different, the process of emancipation is almost the same. Both want eternal happiness. One seeks happiness in impersonal Brahman, and the other seeks happiness in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As described in the first verse, Brahma Saukhyam. Brahman means spiritual or eternal. Both the impersonalist and the devotee seek eternal, blissful life. In any case, it is advised that one become perfect. In the words of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 2287, Asat Sangityaga e Vaishnavachar, Stri Sangi Eka Asadu, Krishna Bhakta Ar. To remain unattached to the modes of material nature, one should avoid associating with those who are asat, materialistic. There are two kinds of materialists. One is attached to women and sense gratification, and the other is simply a non-devotee. On the positive side is association with Mahatmas, and on the negative side is the avoidance of non-devotees and women hunters. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana tamarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamahyam dadati swapadantikam vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukum Kuroti Vacharam Pangum Rangayate Girim Yakripata Mahang Vande Shri Gurun Dina Taranam. Hare Krishna. So welcome to another wonderful lesson from Rishabhdev. The powerful teaching so often quoted by Srila Prabhupada and very much beneficial for us to learn these particular verses because they are principles by which the simple understandings of spiritual life can be had. Yesterday's verse was the expression of the understanding that a human life is meant for something higher than what the animals can achieve. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Certainly those things are required for human beings also, but only to the extent that they provide one the facility to pursue his spiritual life. Jivasya Tattva-Jigyasa is the instruction of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that you should only live for the purpose of inquiring into what is the reality. Who am I? And where do I want to go? So today's verse is how to get to the different destinations that a human being can pursue. Srila Prabhupada explains that the human body is like a junction. So there's the possibility to go up or to go down. And the personality of Godhead is not making that decision for us. He's providing the facilities for us to make the decision. The association of different personalities is specifically mentioned here, different classes of persons. Those who are devoted to the Lord and those who are not devoted to the Lord, with some further specification that we can discuss. So something that came to mind just to open up the class is that the it's a little funny to put in the context of discussing Rishabhdev's teachings, but in any case, the television show The Simpsons is something I used to watch very religiously, more than religiously. I had like an loving absorption in the television show. And in one episode, the children go to summer camp. So there's a unfortunate situation for them that arises. You know, first of all, the parents just wanted to leave the kids at the summer camp. You know, and then they all started partying after the kids went away for summer. You know, so that's one point. You know, it wasn't a very loving act in the first place. It was just more like get the kids out of the house somehow. And then the summer camp was run by a crook, you know, basically. So it was like a swindle thing. And the people who were sort of the counselors were like hoodlums. And when the parents would send like a care package to the kids, the hoodlums would take it and like eat their cookies and, you know, throw away the note that the mom sent for the kids, you know, and the kids are in a cabin that has like cold air and rain coming through it and their blankets are torn and, but they're waiting for this guy, the clown, this famous clown that's coming. I'm purposely avoiding a lot of the names and stuff to not get into so many details. They're waiting, but they have this hope, like this famous clown is supposed to come because the camp is like named after the clown, you know, and they're all watching him on TV, so they go to this camp thinking it's going to be fantastic and he's going to come at the end. So they're suffering through this whole ordeal. You know, I don't know where my parents are. I can't get a hold of them. You know, they're, you know, these hoodlums are like even restricting us from communicating with our families, and you know, we're cold and wet, but Krusty is coming. You know, the Krusty the clown is coming. So anyway, I couldn't avoid saying it. I was thinking of what the exact dialogue was. Unfortunately, I can remember. So anyway, the hope that this clown is coming is what's carrying these kids to the end of the summer camp. So finally, the end comes, and the swindler camp you know, organizing guy says, "Here comes your favorite, you know, clown," and out stumbles like this drunken bum with a clown suit on, you know, to supposed to be the clown, you know, and all the kids are like, "That's not the clown," you know. So it turns, you know, the whole thing was like a disappointment, and then yada yada yada. A lot of other funny stuff happens. But anyway, so these incidences are evidence of generally how, you know, we are disappointed in life by those who are supposed to be helping us or giving us something to hope for. Right, the parents just drop the kids off and they're like, "Hey, you know, finally we get to have a good time without our children." And then, you know, the people that they put them in the care of, they're also, you know, just swindlers. And ultimately the whole thing is a disappointing experience. On the other hand, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how he chooses to take care of persons. And although the TV show is a funny incident, when we read and hear about what the Supreme Lord has to say, you know, it's a little bit harder to laugh. But at the same time, it's 100% more loving and caring what's being expressed in these episodes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the teachings of this chapter are very direct. They're very what you could call heavy. They're very to the point. But the reason for that is because Rishabhdev, who happens to be a king, the representative of God, but he also happens to be the personality of Godhead himself, he is coming to set the example for how a leader should act, and he's also coming to deliver the same message that a real king should deliver. Here's how you can actually be happy, my dear children. He's speaking to his sons specifically in this case, but everyone's a child of God. So, All the instructions are meant for the children of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and there's no disappointment at the end of this path, although the beginning doesn't look as attractive as a summer vacation. The end is much more rewarding than a disappointing set of circumstances that you'll find in material life. And the junction of human life, Rishabhdev has explained, should be taken very seriously, but he doesn't just say take it seriously, he says here's how to take it seriously. He's giving the instruction for how to take it seriously. And he doesn't only say, associate with people who know something about spiritual life. He gives both sides. Here's what will happen if you do this, and here's what will happen if you do that. If you associate with people who are on the path of transcendence, then you will also make progress in that direction. And if you associate with persons who are on the path of degradation, you will also make progress in that direction. Make your choice. That's the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Name dvesho stina priyaha samoham sarvabhuteshu. He doesn't have any... As a spiritual person is described here as samachitta, seeing everyone in a spiritual identity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, God, is seeing everyone equally. He doesn't have an agenda for his... He doesn't have a fruitive or material motivation that I want certain people to be punished, or I want certain people to be rewarded, or I want certain people to suffer, or I want certain people to enjoy. He is simply fulfilling the desires of the living entities. But he's not leaving them without guidance. He's giving them the strongest guidance. So, and he's also not, sectarian. He, even to the point of explaining here, as Srila Prabhupada is teaching us through the translation, that either impersonalist or devotee transcendentalist, it falls in the same category, because the happiness, a mahatma or a great soul, is one who is seeking eternal happiness. So, a teacher mahatma is one who teaches you how to achieve eternal happiness, and one who is on the path of transcendence, or one who makes the right choice here at the junction of human life, is one who chooses, I would like eternal happiness, as opposed to temporary happiness. And that can be either an impersonalist or a personalist, technically speaking. It's just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12. It's possible, after following the impersonal path, that you can achieve spiritual realization, or that you can come to me. But he says that that path is full of dukkha. It's full of misery. Specifically for those who are embodied. Dehavadbir avapyate. So in other words, in a very unbiased manner, Krishna is saying, you better be a personalist or else you're going to suffer a lot, But he's giving the choice. He's not saying, you must do this or else from me. But he is explaining, if you choose the impersonal idea, then you're going to have to go through a lot of difficulty. There's no guarantee of success. So Rishabhdev is also not, and Srila Prabhupada representing Rishabhdev is also not partial in an improper way. He explains the facts. It's possible by following an impersonalist mahatma that you can achieve success, but not very likely. So that point to touch on, since it's mentioned here, very clearly, both of them are on a path, following a process that's almost the same, because both want eternal happiness. But clearly we're propagating the Vaishnav philosophy of personalism. So who is that
person that one should associate with. First, like I said, Mahatma means one who is seeking eternal happiness. So that helps us to understand the context of the rest of the qualities that are being described. If one is seeking eternal happiness, then he will be equipoised. Equipoised because his focus is on the eternal, not on the temporary, either happiness or unhappiness in a temporary sense, because he understands these things are going to always fluctuate because of the modes of nature, because nature itself is always in flux. And the things that happen around us, the things that happen to this body and the mind, because these are also material elements, they're going to have their hills and valleys. So he's not interested in either of those, not even the happiness part. He's only interested in what eternal happiness is. So he'll be equipoised. He doesn't see any difference between one living entity and another because his happiness doesn't come from making an identification of others based on their body. For instance, in our, you can say society or whatever, in our modern context, not only modern, it's a timeless thing, but in our, especially in modern context, Kali Yuga, the capacity for a person to feel compassion for a living entity such as an animal is reduced for a very simple reason, that one wants to achieve happiness by exploiting that particular living entity. So therefore, there are persons who, you know, even you educate them, maybe in the principles of nonviolence or something like that, based on, you know, being vegetarian or humane to their creatures and things like that. The vision of the living entity is not spiritual. In other words, they're not seeking happiness through relating to them in a spiritual way. They're seeking happiness by relating to them in a material way. Even a vegetarian can certainly do this, right? We can eat vegetables or plants and see them in a material way and exploit them without having a higher sense of the purpose of their life. Therefore, we take prasadam, also not just the vegetarian food. So the Mahatma, because he's not looking for his happiness from another's existence, doesn't mean that he doesn't eat anything. Obviously, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these are all parts, can be all parts of a Mahatma's life also. But his vision is how to connect with this soul in a way that's related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or how to connect myself to Krishna, or how to connect that soul to Krishna. That's my happiness, because that's what Krishna wants. My happiness comes from what Krishna will be pleased by. So my goal is like that. So my vision will be also seeing other living entities in their spiritual identity, not seeing them based on how I can achieve a temporary sort of happiness through connecting my bodily situation with their bodily situation. So all of these qualities are very much connected. The person who is leading one to a dark, hellish condition of life is attached to a worldly sort of development of enjoyment. Specifically, Srila Prabhupada says women and sex. Women means, in this context, over-attachment to enjoyment through sexual relationship, you can say, or not in a physical sense necessarily, but family and that kind of thing, where one wants to stay in that situation and not look at the higher goal of life, right? Like in Bhagavad Gita, the qualities of knowledge are elucidated, and being detached enough from the context of family life and those things to be able to look at the higher goal of where am I going in the eternal sense, not being grihavrata, not being in the context of thinking that I'm going to find my happiness in the temporary circumstance, even with nice relationships, even with persons that I love. I know that's not the ultimate goal of life. Right, so that's a person who is not realizing that point is a person that is on a path of further entanglement in material nature. But a Mahatma, although relating to persons of the world, although not disassociated from the opposite sex necessarily, we'll hear Rishabhdev talk about that more later. It doesn't matter whether one is a householder or a renunciate or whatever. The principle is seeing the spiritual identity of everyone in that circumstance and seeing the spiritual goal of life as the purpose of all the activities that one does in life. A Mahatma doesn't see any difference between one living entity and another, and he's very peaceful while being fully engaged in devotional service. He's devoid of anger and works for the benefit of everyone. So Srila Prabhupada puts into the word-for-word synonyms, one must distribute Krishna consciousness to persons who are hostile without becoming angry at them. It's an interesting, is inserted that instruction for how a devotee is supposed to be able to conduct his outreach activities. In other words, there are reasons to get angry, obviously, if somebody attacks someone else physically or even verbally, if it's abusive or offensive kind of thing, that, you know, anger may be appropriate in certain circumstances, but in this context, it's vimanyava. He doesn't have a sense of false prestige. I am a spiritual person and these people are not, so therefore, you know, they don't respect me or they don't respect what I'm teaching to them, so, you know, slap or something. There's a couple of good reasons for that. One is, it's an indication for us. These are instructions for us to take, right? It's not instructions for us to, like, look and see, oh, is Srila Prabhupada getting angry or something like that, you know? That's a little bit, you know, dangerous thing to do, unless you have a certain level of understanding to know when it's appropriate to become angry and when it's not. But for us, we can look and see, when somebody, you know, rejects me or rejects what I'm representing as a aspiring spiritualist, you know, if I become upset by that, is it that I'm actually upset for a reason that person is going to benefit by, or that someone else is going to be protected by my anger, or is it because that I have an identity with the transaction that's happening, right? It's called fruitive mentality. If I go and I try to distribute a book, and the person says, who are you? You know, let me take a look at that. You know, this guy's just talking about all, you know, God this and God that. Just another religion. You're, you know, rah, rah, something, something. And you become disturbed. Two things will happen. One, you'll lose your capacity to interact with the person in a way that may turn the situation to their favor, to become attracted to Krishna consciousness. Second thing that may happen is that the person may be even testing you purposefully to see whether you are actually a spiritual person or not. Purposely testing or not purposely testing, it may be just the soul can understand this person is not actually, you know, someone spiritual. They're just attached to another sectarian idea that they want to push on me. So Srila Prabhupada is giving this instruction for your own Krishna consciousness and actually to be effective. Purity is the force, is what Srila Prabhupada taught. You should be able to distribute Krishna consciousness to persons who are hostile without becoming angry at them. Also, Lord Chaitanya teaches by his example and by his shikshashtakam, by his instruction, that one should never become angry for one's own part. If somebody slaps you, if somebody, you know, disgraces you, Hari Bol, I get a chance to be humble, you know. On the other hand, when Lord Nityananda was assaulted by the drunken hooligans, Jagai and Madai, at that time, they became saintly devotees after that, you know, so no criticism. But in the evidence that's being given through that pastime, Lord Chaitanya didn't choose to be silent and peaceful at that time. And Srila Prabhupada explains, when a devotee or the Lord are being attacked, you know, verbally or physically, a devotee's duty is to become angry. This is actually the duty of a devotee. Why? It's a very simple thing to understand. One, you know, somebody's being attacked verbally or physically. Who is a person who is dedicated to serving the Lord? So how can you not do anything about it? But a more subtle reason, two, one, for the devotee himself, if he doesn't become angry in that circumstance, it's like he is condoning the activity of the person, and he actually becomes contaminated by that allowance of that thing. Haridas Thakur expresses himself that he went to the, whatever it was, magistrate, qazi, someone, and that who had brought him there to tell him, don't chant the name of Krishna any longer. And was not speaking highly of the tradition of Krishna Bhakti. And so subsequently, Haridas Thakur explains, he was punished, beaten in the 22 marketplaces because he didn't defend the Supreme Lord in that situation. So, you know, he's showing by his own example, it's not okay to accept that persons are making a hostile expression or something towards the Lord or his devotees. But anything that happens for our behalf, we should be willing to accept it, because that's the spiritual point of view. You know, ultimately, I'm a spirit soul, the other person's a spirit soul. My only desire is to connect with them in some way that we can both connect to Krishna. So if I'm worried about honor and dishonor and those kinds of things, both of us are going to be missing out on the benefit. So this instruction is there, Srila Prabhupada's inserting in the word for word. And working for the benefit of everyone, suhrida, well-wishers of everyone. So the best suhrida is one who is trying to share a relationship with personality of Godhead with others, because that's the real benefit. Eternal happiness. Although not everyone may be seeking eternal happiness, a cool-headed person can understand that eternal happiness is better than temporary happiness. It's a simple thing to consider. But when persons look at spirituality or religion, they think, you're just trying to close me into your box. Therefore, these principles are being given by the personality of Godhead and by our disciplic succession, not as joining a particular group or something like that, but rather benefit yourself by taking a step forward in your relationship with God. Srila Prabhupada explained that he didn't come to convert people to a particular tradition. He rather came to remind them of that which they had forgotten, which is their relationship with the personality of Godhead. So the business of a devotee is to somehow or other attract persons to the idea of living a life devoted to God, or living a life in the interest of the soul, advancing towards understanding who they are and what is their eternal blissful relationship with Krishna. Krishna means God, right? Krishna. Prabhupada would say this so many times. Krishna means God. God means Krishna. Krishna is the name of God. So Rishabhdev is even allowing the possibility for one to look at the impersonalist. Impersonalist doesn't mean Mayavadi in this context, one who is blaspheming the Supreme Lord, but rather one who is actually seeking happiness in spiritual realization. And there are such persons that exist. Not many, obviously. It's not very easy to try to learn from them how to follow a path to achieve that. But the door is wide open if one can find such a personality who has these qualities, because that person is the gateway to liberation, wherever one may be able to find such a personality. So, just to conclude, there were three points that I wanted to bring up, and this is what I saw as the simple thing that is being explained here, that human life allows us to take one path or the other. That's something that we should know. This is proper education. This is proper education. You are a human being. It's like when you open up a box with a new electronic thing. It's here's how you turn on the device. You know, if you want to turn it off, here's how you do it. So, human being. If you want to head towards suffering, here's the option. If you want to head towards happiness, here's the option. Simple, but profound for our modern context, at least. And then, what is a Mahatma? If you actually are thinking that I'm going to go for the higher road in life, what does it mean? It means that you're seeking eternal happiness. It means that you're tired of the idea of just getting another paltry thing in this world that's going to disappoint you after some time. That's who a Mahatma is, a broad-minded person, as opposed to still having the confidence that this world is going to provide me with fulfillment on its own. And then finally, who is that personality that with whom you can associate to get either destination? So it's a very nice, simple roadmap being provided. It's just up to us to remember the instruction and take the right path in all circumstances. So anyway, that's my kind of overview of things. Any comments or questions? Yes, look, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you very much. You're mentioning that it is the responsibility of a devotee to react, basically not to tolerate, let's say, mm-hmm. the blasphemy of devotees or the Lord. So I was wondering, sometimes in the association of devotees, we may perceive that other individuals are having something of a blasphemous disposition towards others, even sometimes towards Krishna, maybe, you know. So then, what is the proper protocol? Etiquette?
Well, if you're talking about amongst persons who are trying to practice spiritual life, we can say devotees means like people in this institution, or we can just talk about anyone who has some kind of religious or spiritual disposition. we have to be very careful not to make quick judgments about, you know, those kinds of situations for our own spiritual life. Because even persons who are not like a part of this institution or something, for example, they can still be you know, somewhere on the trajectory, and to criticize them or to do something to harm them. I mean, any living entity, right? But particularly those who are trying to be devoted to God, there is a spiritual consequence. Krishna is not going to be happy with that, because the opportunity is there to help that person to make a step farther on their path. And if due to some sectarian idea or whatever, sectarian can even be within one institution, you can be sectarian. Like, I mean, obviously, if somebody is talking about Krishna, that's not very sectarian, but, you know, it can be this guru or this temple or whatever, you know. Where am I acting from? Am I genuinely acting from a platform of wanting to help that person move forward in their relationship with Krishna? Do I even have the understanding of what needs to be done in that circumstance with that particular person to help them move towards Krishna? And am I acting in a way that I'm not going to be harmed in my path towards Krishna? All these things, if one doesn't have the understanding of them, the best thing to do would be to leave the situation as opposed to trying to say something that might be just as offensive as what the other person is saying. So that would be my first caution from my own application, consideration, realization, etc. It can be very dangerous, in other words. So we have to have a little bit of a level of understanding to be able to apply that, even with persons who are not spiritualists, because conditioning is there. And the conditioned tendency, as I was discussing, is to become angry for some reason other than that reason in itself, that we actually understand that that person is envious of the Supreme Lord or the devotees. Rather, it may simply be there's some situation going on where they don't like me or the way that I've expressed something or some external thing that's not really very important, and we jump into it like I'm defending Krishna, you know, and really, all, you know, Krishna's like, hey, but this is just like a joke, you know, but I'm throwing myself into the fire. So those situations are very dangerous. Best thing, you know, Nityananda Prabhu was struck physically by somebody. That was not, there was no question about what was going on there. In other circumstances, we can simply leave the situation, and that's what's recommended by, you know, generally by devotees, is just leave, come up with some excuse. I have to go somewhere else. I have some other service to do. Another response is to defeat the idea. If somebody speaks poorly of someone else, you can say, hang on a second, you know, I know this devotee, I have a lot of appreciation for them, or you know, something that you understand about the situation that can bring another light to it. And the person may say, oh, okay, that's not what I heard, you know, and then that can be the end of it, as opposed to you know, like I harm my spiritual life or harm someone else's spiritual life. So the attempt should always be from a place of humility rather than a place of thinking that I know for sure what the best way is to handle it. And the self-protection that's best is always to avoid even letting the sound enter the ears. So however we can make that happen first is probably best for us. Those are just some thoughts. I'm not the best person to answer the question, I'm sure. Hare Krishna, thank you for the question. And if anybody else want to add to that, or there's 5 more minutes if you want to ask a question or anything, anybody? Gokulananda, or is it online? Oh, yeah.
Regarding the Mahatsevan, the service to Mahatmas, So why do you think Prabhupada is mentioning both impersonalists and devotees?
Why do I think he's mentioning both?
Yes, because, and also because many times Prabhupada is trying to drive our attention to personalism and not service, sometimes even So when he said asanga, means also not association with person who don't have the conception of or a relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
So in that context means that you may be able to do advancement by serving even an impersonalist.
Yep. Yep, that's true. I tried to touch on that. I can just share what my appreciation is. I'm not gonna say this is why Srila Prabhupada is saying that, you know, just for my own humility. I don't know all the reasons, obviously, why Srila Prabhupada is saying that, but from his purport, I can say that he makes the statement that the phrase that Rishabhdev himself used in the previous verse was Brahma Sokyam. He didn't say Bhakti Sokyam or, you know, that kind of direct reference to a personalist understanding of things. So in representing Rishabhdev, Srila Prabhupada is giving that leniency, that this is undefined in this circumstance. It could be either one, as long as it's spiritual, Brahma, so eternal happiness. And either one of those is looking for eternal happiness, so either one can lead one on the path to advancement. And other places, Srila Prabhupada, like I was mentioning in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada does talk about, not just Srila Prabhupada, he's repeating Krishna's words, that it's possible for one to look to the impersonal realization through spiritual life. But what's the, you know, possibility, first of all, of achieving that? Not very high. What's the difficulty of getting there? Very great. And even when one does get there, what is it that is higher than that is the personal realization. So while that possibility exists, it's not something that will be very fruitful to pursue. So my appreciation was just that he is, because of that's what he stated in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is simply referring in this case to the Brahma, just meaning spiritual, and there's different levels of what spiritual can mean. So he's leaving that door open. We could also say that the qualities that are being described here of a Mahatma apply to persons who have impersonal realization. So you have to give that as the reality. You know, you talk about persons that fall into the categories of like the Kumaras or Shukadev Goswami or something before they, you know, took to devotional service, they would still fall in this category. So you can't leave them out of the definition of a Mahatma. They are still Mahatmas, although they didn't display initially a personalist viewpoint. I don't know. Those are just some thoughts. I don't know if there's more that Srila Prabhupada would be insinuating by that. But here it's clear that he's making a distinction between sat and asat. So using that terminology, you also have to allow for sat, meaning impersonal, because it is a feature of the eternal supreme. So any clarification? If I didn't speak clear enough for you.
No,
particularly.
It was very clear. I just could say that you're just plain clear, but the Maya, of course, Prabhupada doesn't refer to the Mayavadis.
No? That's what my understanding is. Yeah. Because that's not real impersonal realization. It's just like negation of things. Okay, well, the class is over. I don't want to delay the Hari Nam, so unless somebody really wants me to say something else, I'll stop. No? Okay. All right, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ki jai.